Greetings. Welcome to Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, coming to you live today, October 24, 2010, here in WILL AM 580, based in beautiful Urbana. And it is our great pleasure this week to do our special two-hour pre-election extravaganza, what's going on in politics, and let's raise some money for the greatest public radio station in the United States, WILL AM 580. Our guest today will be John Nichols of The Nation magazine, co-author of many books with yours truly and author of many books on his own, here to talk about the lay of the land politically and explain the importance of this station to you and to America. So it's going to be a great 2 hours. Get ready to make your pledge. But before we get to the activity, let's go to Media Minute.
Any views or opinions expressed by the hosts of Media Minutes are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its management, or licensee.
Welcome to Media Minutes. I'm Stevie Converse.
And I'm Candace Clement.
And I'm Megan Tatey.
A West Virginia University journalism project has received a new grant to help the state's rural newspapers transition to the digital age. West Virginia Uncovered was awarded $105,000 by the Claude Worthington Benedum Foundation. It's the fifth grant the project has received since 2008. The project began as a way to give journalism students the opportunity to work with rural newspapers throughout the state. Coordinator of West Virginia Uncovered, Mary Kay McFarland, says that the timing of the project changed the approach towards teaching students.
Journalism was undergoing, and is still undergoing, massive changes. So that it was no longer really okay for them to just be learning writing skills. They needed to be learning online skills, including video, audio, and photography, and how to tell stories in multiple mediums.
The funding allows the students to travel across the state and work with several newspapers. The university holds workshops for newspaper staff to help them adapt to online news production.
Originally, the vision was really that we would teach them multimedia storytelling only. But, you know, as we've done it, just using multimedia is such a small piece of what newspapers are having to adapt to, that we have done workshops on all kinds of things that have to do with online journalism and innovation in journalism.
This new round of funding will house students for 6 weeks in the summer so that they may build stronger relationships and learn from seasoned professionals. Until now, only the students' mileage was paid for, and they were not able to stay with the newspapers for any length of time. The funding will also support community workshops to help the public engage in their media and contribute content. The first community photography workshop will be held on October 22nd. In this way, West Virginia can be ready for the digital age, although for many, online newspapering is not a current option. West Virginia currently ranks last in the United States in broadband penetration, and many newspapers are hesitant to invest in online resources that their readers can't access.
The reality is that for many of them, they are still the only game in town. You know, in West Virginia, the community newspapers are the main source of information for those communities. But they do recognize that this is where things are going. And so we constantly keep it out there in the forefront that this is where we believe things are going, and we want to be a resource to West Virginia media, to West Virginia newspapers particularly.
To read and watch the stories in West Virginia Uncovered, go to wvuncovered.wvu.edu.
Musicians and artists are increasingly turning to creative online tactics to reach fans and distribute their music. And now, a new project is aimed at helping people use the power of technology to unleash their creativity and make a sustainable living, all while quietly advocating for policy changes in Washington that could help all artists succeed. The national nonprofit Public Knowledge recently launched the Creators Freedom Project and is sidestepping its usual beltway approach to changing copyright and telecom policies. The project, based in Nashville, wants to use real-world examples of musicians and artists benefiting from online freedom without employing the usual wonk. Alex Curtis, Public Knowledge's Director of Policy and New Media, will be running the project.
It's a completely different kind of advocacy, one that's dealing more directly with the people that we are supposed to be advocating for, and one that hopefully will have a more quickly and easily seeable outcome as opposed to, say, advocating for a piece of legislation or regulation.
Curtis is hoping the project's efforts to support artists in tangible ways will help people understand how policies directly impact them and perhaps even move them to activism.
People really don't care necessarily about the copyright battles or the net neutrality battles. They care more about what the effect of those policies are. How does using copyright help me find my fan, or how does it help me make more money so I can go perform in new places?
The project will connect artists to new online technologies, such as Kickstarter, that can help them reach new audiences and unleash them from a traditionally corporatized industry where only a handful of musicians get record deals and find success.
I'm a big techie, and so I really love applying technology to help people. It's kind of my feeling that probably 80 to 90% of artists really don't get how they could be leveraging online services and tools and just basic communication to find their fans and have success.
To find out more information, visit creatorsfreedom.org.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit www.freepress.net.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and the participants.
Okie dokie, welcome back to Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, coming to you live today, October 24th, 2010, here in WILL AM 580, based in beautiful Urbana, Illinois. Today is one of my favorite shows of the year, 2 hours with my very best friend, and probably the best friend WILL Radio has, John Nichols, to talk about politics and to urge you and even demand that you step forward and support this station and this program and keep it on the air, keep it humming for the next year at the level we're accustomed to, and maybe even make it better. It's going to be a wonderful 2 hours. I want everyone, if you can, just make your pledge call right now. Just call in at 217-244-9455, or if you're out of the area, call 800-244-9455, or if you like to go online, go to willpledge.org for a secure ability to donate. Make your pledge to support Media Matters and to support WILL AM 580, public broadcasting in Central Illinois, and really serving the world thanks to the internet. We need your support, and if you do make a $60 pledge, we have some wonderful premium for you on the program today. One of the items we have for you is the book that John Nichols and I wrote, The Death and Life of American Journalism, which was featured on last week's program. A $60 pledge will get you a hardback copy of that. Or you can get one of the two books of recent guests on the show, very popular shows we had with lots of positive feedback. One book was The Shallows by Nicholas Carr on the way the internet is affecting our brains. The other book is The Washington Rules by Andrew Bacevich, the scholar and former Army colonel who's written a strong revisionist criticism of American foreign policy from World War II to the present day. Any of those three books, The Shallows, Washington Rules, or The Death and Life of American Journalism, is yours for a $60 pledge to WILL. So before I get to John Nichols in a second, just get on the phone right now. Call 217-244-9455. Make that pledge, or call 800-244-9455 if you're out of the area, or go to willpledge.org. Make the pledge. Pick up one of those books, or if you're really feeling like you want to do some great reading, and it is great reading, make a $180 pledge. Get all three books. And when you're done with them, give them to your friends, because they're the sort of books I think you're going to want to give to your friends, especially the books by Bacevich and Carr. With no further ado, let me welcome to the airwaves of East Central Illinois into cyberspace my dear friend, my co-author, and a real champion of public broadcasting in the United States today, John Nichols. Hey, John.
Hey, brother. It's good to be with you. Now, do we need public broadcasting now?
Yeah, really. Now, John Nichols, just for our listeners' sake, you are on the road. You're covering the elections. We're going to talk a lot about the breaking news in the election races going on in the United States in the next 10 days, what's going to be happening. Where are you today?
Well, amazingly enough, I am en route to, and this is a one-day thing, I'm en route to Odense, Denmark, where I'm going to honor the 250th anniversary of one of the oldest daily newspapers in the world with a little speech, and then fly back to finish covering our election campaign.
Well, that's fantastic. Odense, Denmark.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful, a classic old daily newspaper that is on the cutting edge of high tech and new moves in media, but is fascinated by and interested in some of the stuff that you and I've written about with the collapse of newspapers and the transition. They're also, like everybody else in the world, totally interested in our election campaign in the U.S. It's a fascinating thing. I do probably 20 interviews a week with different radio stations and sometimes TV stations around the country, and recently almost as many from around the world. It's as if American elections have become international elections, and so it all weaves together.
Well, we have a goal today, they said, of 75 callers, 75 pledges over the next 2 hours.
That's insane.
Insanely low. We should be able to top that in the first hour. Let's come on. Let's show the station management. Let's show the state of Illinois the support this program has here on WILL. Media Matters. Over the last year, John, let me give you a list of names, and you guess what these names typify.
All right.
Andrew Bacevich, Bernie Sanders, Glenn Greenwald, Tom Hartman, Amy Goodman, Dave Zirin, Columbia University President Lee Bollinger, Robin Kelly, Joe Stiglitz, Jeremy Scahill, Noam Chomsky, Susan Douglas, Janine Jackson, Dean Baker, Chalmers Johnson, Juliet Shore. You know what those names represent?
I can tell you two things they represent.
Okay.
People who have not been on network television at all, or certainly not enough, to talk about the fundamental issues of the day. That's number one. And number two, the people who actually could explain the fundamental issues of the day.
And number three, the people who've been on our show over the last over the last 6 months. They've been that's our guest list. And you know, to get people like that on the show costs this station money, it costs support. And we do need people to call them. We only do this twice a year. We have pledge drives. And just to give a sense, and I don't want to be too dire here, but let's be real clear for listeners what's at stake this time around. It's unusual. University funding for WILL is down $68,000. We don't know if there's going to be any money from the state of Illinois. I think it's fair to say anyone in Illinois knows that everything here is pretty much in complete turmoil. And federal funding right now, as we know in the last few days, is suddenly getting back in play. Mm-hmm. Some politicians have decided it's time to get out their 1994 Newt Gingrich playbook and maybe consider eliminating any public support for NPR stations like WILL. Needless to say, that would be absolutely disastrous. This station only gets a small percentage, relatively speaking, of its money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but it does get a significant amount of money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and it is an amount of money we can't conceive of not having. All things considered, that means everyone, pun intended, everyone listening needs to make that call to 217-244-9455. Make the pledge, or 1-800-244-9455. Make the pledge, sit back, relax, and let John Nichols tell us about the elections that are coming up, talk about some of the big issues, what he's seeing in play in the various races. But we do need to settle the commerce. This is not optional now. You know, this is not a time you can sit back and say, okay, well, I gave 2 years ago, or I might give next year. I'm going to let someone else carry the load this year, and I'll get a free ride. We need all hands on deck right now, everyone. If you're a listener to this show, if you support Media Matters, you like the guests we bring on this show and the guests we're going to be bringing on this show, we need to show that with material support. We know these aren't easy times, but give whatever you can. We have wonderful premium for you. We've got John and my new book, Death and Life of American Journalism. We've got Andrew Bacevich's masterpiece, The Washington Rules, or we have Nick Carr's terrific book, The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains. Any of those is yours for $60. Give us $180, get all three, but give whatever you can. If you can only give $10, give $10. But if you're doing decently financially right now, your situation isn't that bad, this is the time to give the $500 or $1,000 donation, whatever you can, because there are a lot of people who wish they could give that, but they simply don't have the resources to do it. Do whatever you can. We do need your support. The money all goes to good use. Not a dime goes into my pocket. Not a dime goes into junkets to Bell Harbor or to Las Vegas. It all goes to pay the bills, phone bills, utility bills, the staff here, which is extraordinary and committed to public broadcasting. Please, everyone, get on that phone, 217-244-9455, or if you're outside the area, 1-800-244-9455, or go online to willpledge.org. Make your pledge. Make it right now. Get that money in here. Sit back, relax, and we'll let John Nichols tell us about what's happening with the elections, what we should expect. And, John, let's cut to the chase. Are there any moving trends right now nationally in the elections that you're beginning to pick up from your research out in the campaign trail?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I've spent really the last couple weeks doing a good deal of reporting and traveling. We're into the point now where we can start to judge whether all of the nonsense of August and September was legitimate, or whether there's, you know, another narrative that may be developing. And what's very interesting to me is, first and foremost, there's simply no question. This is an angry election year. This is a year where Republicans will make gains. But the question is, will it be a relatively typical off-year election cycle when the economy is down? We've seen these before. In 1938, in 1950, in 1958, in 1974 and 78. You know, it's a long pattern of moments like this when a presidential party suffers serious setbacks because they are in power and not able to produce an economy that people like. Or is this going to be something bigger? Is it going to be a sweeping, radical shift in power and in control in Washington? There's some evidence to suggest that it may not be as sweeping as some folks intended or expected. And that evidence is coming in to two fronts. First is polling. There was a tremendous amount of polling early on that had Republicans just sort of running away with races all over the country. And it created sort of a reality unto itself. The money, especially from Wall Street and corporate sources, shifted very powerfully toward Republicans and Republican-tied interest groups. At the same time, there was a lot of energy that went to the Republican side. But now the polls are significantly narrower in a lot of states. A lot of Democrats who looked to be in huge trouble now appear to be viable. The most fascinating case has to be California, where Meg Whitman has spent the better part of $175 million, and she's trailing Jerry Brown, who isn't spending anywhere near that amount of money and has run sort of this bizarre, almost Zen campaign. He has not pushed particularly hard. He's stumbled and made some mistakes along the way, but it seems as if there might be a wonderful story out of California of rejection of big money. At the same time, as we see sort of this narrowing of polls around the country, there's one other piece of evidence that is fascinating. We have early voting now in the better part of 20 states. That's where people can come in and cast ballots whenever they want. In some states, it's become a really big pattern, people doing it a lot. And what's fascinating is that right now, the early voting patterns are very, very similar in Democratic areas to 2006. Not to 2008 when you had that Obama explosion, but that we're not seeing the collapse of Democratic turnout that had been predicted. So my sense is that what we're seeing develop here is a more complicated political playout, and one that could be very, very different from what the media has told us. The problem, though, and the big problem is that the media told us or developed its own narrative for so long that we might still have a very warped result. Because people were told things that simply weren't true, that weren't necessarily reality, and to some extent, as Marshall McLuhan and others taught us, if the media tells us something long enough, we begin to accept it.
Our guest, John Nichols, you've just been listening to. I'm Bob McChesney. This is Media Matters. This is a live show, and this is our we do it once every 6 months. It's one of the programs where we come to you, and we ask you to get on the phone to make your pledge to support radio like Media Matters, programs like this, stations like WILL AM 580, which have the willingness and courage and vision to support programming like Media Matters. Please get on the phone right now. Make that pledge. We're going to be here for the next hour and 45 minutes. We're going to be talking to John Nichols about American politics and global politics, the state of the media, all sorts of issues people have been asking me to talk with John about. But we need you to pledge to support this sort of programming. Right now, we have a target of 75 pledges. I don't think we've had one yet. I haven't seen the data yet. The phones are not ringing, that much I can tell.
So and Bob, I just want to interrupt here.
Please do, John.
If we don't get those pledges, we're just going to have to beg and beg and beg.
Yeah.
And we will do it. We are able to beg. But if people do call, if they call now, we will be able to talk a lot about the politics of this moment. And the fascinating thing is there's much to talk about because we are, as you hinted in your setup there, coming into another moment where there's going to be huge political wrangling about public radio, how to fund it, whether there'll be federal funding. Well, the best way to assure that no matter what sort of craziness occurs in Washington or in Springfield, that folks in Champaign and Urbana and surrounding communities all over central Illinois and all the way over into Indiana have quality news and public affairs programming is to call in right now and make that pledge. This is going to be a turbulent moment. We're just starting what's likely to be one of the most complex and turbulent moments in recent American history. Get the radio you need now. Make that investment. Make the call.
217-244-9455 is our phone number. Or you can go to the toll-free line if you're outside the immediate area at 1-800-244-9455. And for those of you who like to go online or listening to this show online, go to willpledge.org. It's a secure website. You can make your pledge there. We have wonderful premium, and I'm not just here to brag on the book that John and I wrote, The Death and Life of American Journalism, which is one of our three books that's available for a $60 pledge. Also, we have Andrew Bacevich's lovely brand new book, The Washington Rules, and we have Nick Carr's new book, The Shallows, What the Internet Will Do to Our Brains, These are books, aside from our own, I don't want to brag on ours, the other two are just extraordinary books. I've read them. I use them in my classes. We've had them both, Nick Carr and Andrew Bacevich, on our program in the last 2 months. I think they've been terrific shows. You'll love reading these books, but we need your support. These authors are supporting this show. They appreciate having a show where they can come on and lay out relatively complex and unorthodox arguments that need time, and they can do that on Media Matters. And there aren't many other stations that allow that, and it's not just this show. David Inge's show does a great job of it, too, throughout the lineup, and WILL is something we're proud of. But it takes money, and so we need folks to call in. Make that pledge at 217-244-9455. 9455 or 1-800-244-9455. And one last thing before we get back to talking to John Nichols about the political situation in the United States. This is really a moment to think long and hard. Only about 10% of the people who listen to Media Matters by our research ever pledged to support WILL. Maybe 11, maybe 9, but in that area. We have a lot of listeners. I talk to you all the time. I get emails from you. I cross paths with you all the time who talk about the show. And 10% of you are giving money, and I love you. I'd like to give you all a hug. The other 90%, this is a time to maybe rethink the program. There are times I can understand you say, look, the show's going to be there anyway. The station's going to be there anyway. Even if I don't give money, I've got other things to do with my money. This is not that moment. This is a moment in which public radio is under attack, it looks like it has not been under attack for 15 or 16 years. And we don't know the seriousness, how serious this attack will be, but it's worth getting concerned about at this point and being prepared. It's a moment economically where both the university funding has already been slashed, $68,000. The state funding, which has been important in the past, is now completely up in the air given the nature of the state's finances. This is the moment we really need our listeners to really step up and say, yep, I've been listening. I have been letting someone else pay the bills for a while. Now it's my turn. I'm going to do what I can. And if you're in a situation where you know, you just don't have that much money, give what you can. You'll notice that the pledge goal they give for our show here at WIL is not a cash pledge. It's just pledges. Because we understand some people might only be able to give $10. Well, that $10 is just as important in our pledge, in our mind, as a larger gift, because it shows someone's giving what they can. But, you know, if you're out there and you're the one or two people out there just happen to be having good times financially, or your situation isn't that bad, or it's very good, in fact, for whatever reason, this is the time we really like you to dig deep. Give whatever you can, and if you can give $500 or $1,000, do it, because believe me, there are 100 other people who would love to give that money if they were in a position to do so. This is the time we need you to call 217-244-9455, 244-9455. Make your pledge for Media Matters and for WILL, then sit back, relax, and we're going to talk politics in the show like we do, and we're going to talk media, and we've got, in my opinion, the top political reporter in the country on the line with us, and we're very fortunate that he's someone who's willing to take 2 hours out of his time. He could be cruising the streets of Copenhagen, or wherever he is. He won't even tell us. He's in an undisclosed bunker somewhere in Europe. He could be doing that, but instead he's huddled up in a hotel room talking to us because he believes in the station, he believes in public media, and he knows the importance of ideas and how we thrive in them and need them if we're going to get our way out of the problems we're in. John Nichols, what do you have to say?
Don't make me sound too noble, man. I love pitching for this station because this station has such important reach, and it is such a vital part of a network of public broadcasting stations across the United States. And understand this. You've hinted at and talked a little bit about the politics of the public broadcasting debate right now. I was just in Washington and looking at what's developing on this, and it's going to be, I don't think that we should think for a moment that it isn't going to be a brutal fight. There's two things that are coming into play right now politically. First and foremost is we do have budget crises at the state and federal level. Now, I think that these budget crises are dramatically overblown, and they are a result of a lot of very, very bad politics, more than just bad economics that's in play. And so, I think we always have to be careful for buying into the line that government, which can afford wars and bailouts for big banks, is suddenly broke when it comes to funding public radio or programs for people in need. But if we're going to live in this reality of talk about a budget crisis, one of the things that has developed is a focus on cutting public broadcasting money. The sort of poster boy for conservative governors right now is Governor Christie in New Jersey. One of the very first things he did upon taking office earlier this year was cut funding for New Jersey public television and public radio to go straight at him. Now that politics is going to be playing out in other states, potentially even Illinois, and it is also going to play out at the federal level. The reason for this is multifold. First, there's always been a desire to go after public radio and public television. It provides a real counterbalance to hyper-commercial and very powerful corporate media interests. At the same time, the recent firing of Juan Williams, the commentator on National Public Radio, and his immediately being picked up by Fox, has created a juxtaposition that a lot of Republican politicians are playing on very aggressively. And I think the thing to understand is this isn't just talk. The point person in the House of Representatives is Fred Upton. He's talking about a serious cut in perhaps even a zeroing out of public broadcasting funding. Now, Fred Upton is not one of the crazies. He's not an extremist. He's a relatively moderate Republican from Michigan, a guy who's actually been opposed in some of his primaries by Tea Party types. What this tells me is that there's a very, very good chance that it will become a mainstream Republican position to cut public broadcasting funding, public television and radio. Now, that there may be pushback. There's a lot of rural representatives, Republicans and Democrats, who know the value. There's even some urban Republicans who know the value. But if this is the fight we're going to get into, then the funding of stations like this around the country is going to become very, very tenuous. There's going to be a lot of uncertainty. Budget cuts will be made in anticipation of shortages of federal or state money. At a moment like this, the pledges that people bring in, the support that listeners give, becomes doubly important. It is a base on which the station can build its budget, build its plan for the year to come, even when there's a lot of instability at the federal and state level.
John Nichols, I've been told that people should not call the toll-free number. They should only use the 217-244-9455 number. See, we need to get those pledges so we can get our toll-free number back up.
Get everything going again.
Get it going again. Or go to
Will Pledge. What is that number again, Bob?
217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org. We do have four people to thank, so we got four down, and I want to take a moment here to thank them. Michael and Deborah Shirley of Tuscola, thank you very much. Robert Neville or Neville, and I apologize. I know you've pledged before, Robert, and some one of these days I'll learn the correct pronunciation. I'm going to assume it's Neville from Terre Haute. Nargis Berenji Harley and David Harley of Urbana, thank you. Urbana, always quick to the struggle. We're thankful that Urbana is there. And Burton Rabe of Peoria. Thank you so much. That's four pledges down. We need 71 to go. Let's get these done, everyone. We need your support. It's really imperative this year. 217-244-9455. Make those calls. John Nichols, as you look at across the country, let me put it to you this way, John. Mm-hmm. And I asked Bernie Sanders this question on the show a couple weeks ago when Bernie was our guest, or 3 weeks ago. And, you know, just about 23 months ago, right after the election of Barack Obama, we were in a situation where the Democrats had won two more or less landslide elections in a row, those 2006 off-year elections, the 2008 presidential and congressional elections, decisive victories. For the first time, one party had won decisive victories of that caliber in consecutive elections, I think going back to FDR in the 1930s. Mm-hmm. And you and I remember talking, we looked at the electoral map for 2010 and we said, wow, if the Democrats play their cards right, this is actually going to be a great year for them. They could actually have a third. They could do, mm-hmm. they were in position to sort of run the table and have it set up a generational shift. And now it seems that seems like 100 years ago, not 23 months ago. What happened?
Well, a lot happened. First off, you're absolutely right. When you looked at the electoral map for 2010, it should have been very, very good for Democrats. In fact, intriguingly enough, it may be that electoral map that prevents this year from turning out to be the total disaster that some Democrats fear, because they came out, they were so far ahead. Democrats not only had a substantial majority in the House of Representatives, they had a majority in the Senate, but that majority in the Senate was built on the winds of 2006 and 2008. The 2004 cycle, that's when George Bush was reelected, wasn't all that good for Democrats. So all the people elected in 2004, up for election again in 2010, there was a disproportional number of Republicans. So it's a roundabout way of saying that things looked really, really good. All that the Obama administration and Congress needed to do was control the storyline, control the narrative. They didn't necessarily have to end the recession. They didn't necessarily have to solve every problem in the world, but they at least had to communicate with the American people in an effective way during this period, and chances are they might well have had that triple cycle. What they didn't do, and it will, history will record this without much debate, is that they didn't get it right at the start. Barack Obama's inaugural address was first and foremost a pretty boring speech. He seemed a little like a deer in the headlights, like somebody who had sought a position and then suddenly realized it was going to be hard. That impression has been reinforced by the recent New York Times Magazine article that basically suggests the same thing, with Obama to some extent acknowledging it. But that failure to see the situation clearly caused the Obama administration and its congressional allies to think that they had a lot of time in which to do all of the social policy and economic policy initiatives they wanted to do. So they barreled into health care, not rapidly, but sort of, with a casual grace, if you will. They put aside financial services reform for the better part of a year. Climate change, they said, oh, we got plenty of time to do that. All of these issues they kind of put on the table, but they didn't really go with any real sense of urgency. Now, the problem was that they had some successes, they had some failures there, typical of a new administration. But all of the energy that went to health care, climate change, financial services reform, a host of other issues, was drawn away from the one issue that Americans were passionately concerned about, and that was unemployment. It's not the federal deficit. It's not federal spending. No polling suggests that people are particularly freaked out about that. What people are freaked out about is the loss of jobs that has already occurred and the possibility that there will be significantly more job losses. The administration didn't make this the central focus. The Congress did not make this the most urgent activity it was involved in. As a result, we've gone through the better part of 2 years of Democratic control, and our unemployment rate is roughly where it was. In fact, it's actually a little higher than when Obama came in.
John, let me stop you right there at that point and hold that thought, because unemployment is a very good idea, because we here at WILL, We need to raise some money, too, to keep our economy going. I've got three more people to thank, so we've got three more pledgers. And I want to get the thanks into Marilyn Roll of Terre Haute. I think your shout-out to Western Indiana. Western Indiana did well, John. We got two Terre Haute calls. Thank you, Terre Haute.
The home of Eugene Victor Debs.
That's right. We got a sixth pledge from Ralph DeWald of Champaign. So Champaign and Urbana are now tied 1-1. Terre Haute is beating Champaign and Urbana. And we had an online listener from Troy, New York, who called. I didn't want his name mentioned or her name mentioned, but made a nice pledge. And all seven of you, we love you, but we have 68 to go. We've only got 90 minutes. We've got a sort of a slow start. Let's everyone make those pledges now at 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org. And you will get give us the support we need to keep this show in there. We have to get 75 callers. We're a special two-hour version of Media Matters. Our guest, John Nichols, on the phone with us from an undisclosed bunker in Europe. We're preparing to give a major lecture in Denmark, we think, tomorrow or today. I don't know what day it is.
There's really no secret about it.
You didn't tell me. That's why I'm giving you a hard time. We've got three premia, three books, any one of which you're eligible to get. Just tell the people when you call them which one you want for a $60 pledge, our standard $60 pledge. One is the book that John Nichols and I wrote that came out earlier this year, Death and Life of American Journalism, that I lectured on the show last week. We carried my lecture about it. Another one is the book by Nicholas Carr, The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains, which is a program we had about 6 weeks ago. And I think I've gotten more positive response to that one show than any other show I've ever done in the 8 years of Media Matters. And we're just about our eighth anniversary this week. So you can have a chance to read that extraordinary book but with a $60 pledge. And then the third book that's available is Andrew Bacevich's new book, The Washington Rules, the critique of U.S. foreign policy by the former Army colonel who's become one of the great experts on U.S. military policy, one of the great critics of the consensus in Washington of our foreign policy in recent years. So $60, and you have your choice of those three books, or give $180 and get all three and pass them along. I think they're books you'll be delighted to have read. And we're honored that this is sort of show that lets us bring people like Nick Carr on the air, or Andrew Bacevich, or Bernie Sanders, or Glenn Greenwald, or Tom Hartman, Norman Solomon, Charles Pierce, Robin Kelly, Joe Stiglitz, Jeremy Scahill, Amy Goodman, Noam Chomsky, Susan Douglas. Those are just some of the people we've had on the last few months. Those are the sort of guests we have here. We work hard. Melissa Trent's our producer. Going out, finding a guest who are willing to come on. We have so many who are delighted to have a chance to come before an audience that is tuned in, that asks great questions, and where they have a chance to lay out long answers, because sometimes they're making unorthodox arguments, arguments that go against the sort of soundbite cliches that dominate in commercial media. And this is your chance to say that's the sort of radio you want. This is your chance to say, I really like having a station committed to non-commercial programming with really smart, interesting people laying out their ideas, and I can directly ask them questions that aren't censored, that aren't filtered. But to make that happen, we need your support. We've told you already, I don't want to belabor the point, but we're not making this stuff up. We've had our budget cut by the university by $68,000. Our support, which we get from the state of Illinois, is completely up in the air. It might not exist. We don't know what's going to come of it because of the fiscal crisis of the state. And as I think any of our discerning listeners know, or we heard John Nichols talking about just now, the federal support is now back in play for the first time in 17 years. And the tragedy of this, or the absurdity of this, is that compared to every other Democratic nation in the world, advanced democracy, the United States barely pays anything to support nonprofit, non-commercial radio and television, community or public system, NPR, PBS, community stations, university stations, whatever you want to say. For every dollar we spend, Canada spends roughly $18 in public money. And then you get to Europe and it's more like $50 to $100 per dollar. I mean, we're so far behind, yet even that paltry smidgen that we spend to support public and community radio and television in this country is now jeopardized by politicians who want to take that away and really force us to turn to advertising, which is what they want. They would love nothing more than to have Media Matters as brought to you by Fred Schmo Hardware Store. Or actually, I'd take Fred Schmo Hardware. More likely they'd want some corporate General Motors or something like that, or some insurance company. Well, that's not acceptable to us. We don't allow advertisers here. They don't dictate content. They play no role at all. We don't have owners dictating content. We're here basically to serve you. The decisions that are made about what guests we have, what gets carried on this station and what gets carried in the shows, what's going to best serve the people of this community, the people who this station is dedicated to serving, not some faraway advertiser or some owner somewhere or some politician in Washington. And we need you to step up and contribute so this station can stay strong and vibrant and withstand whatever attacks may come to it. You've got to call 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org. Make your pledge. We need your support. This is a matter of the utmost seriousness. We can't exaggerate it. We have a target of 75 pledges we want to get before we're done today at 3 o'clock Central Time, and we've got seven. We've got seven in 40 minutes. This is really not acceptable. We need you to step up. This is the time for you to come over and say the sort of radio you're getting in Media Matters is worth it. And you want to see it on the air, encouraged. You want more of it, not less of it. And you want more stations like WILL. You want to give them the tools to keep the great programming, to expand the quality of the programming, to make it more possible for us to have guests call in on good ISDN lines from Europe when we have a breaking story, or from Asia or Latin America, something we can only do rarely now. Let's make it so we can do it all the time. But we do need your support. Make the pledge. Sit back there and listen to John Nichols talk about politics, what's going on in this country. But we need to know that you're out there. You're going to support this station. 217-244-9455. Make the call right now or go to willpledge.org and do it secure online. John Nichols, I've been windbagging away here. I've done my best. What can you add to the cause?
Well, I heard a passion there. You know, it seemed like you're all on the verge of getting upset with folks.
Oh, never.
And I know you're not upset. It's just that you recognize that what we're talking about here is the real thing. You and I write about this, and we spend a lot of time focusing on these issues. And the tipping point that we are at in America right now is a serious one. It is estimated that as much as $5 billion will be spent on this election campaign, mostly by special interests trying to buy the storyline that they want, mm-hmm. trying to use advertising and a number of other means to assure that we debate the issues they want us to debate, we respond to the candidates in the way they want us to respond, and ultimately that they, the special interests, get the government they want. The only counterbalance to that is journalism. And by and large, the commercial sector is giving us less quality journalism today than it did 4 years ago, 40 years ago, 200 years ago. I mean, we really are in a major moment of decline as regards commercial journalism. Public broadcasting, what folks are listening to right now, is an antidote. It's maybe not the whole antidote to the crisis, but it is a serious antidote. It's one of the few things that we have. And I cannot emphasize that if folks are upset about, discouraged by, frustrated by, uncertain about the current political moment, and they have a right to be, it is an incredibly turbulent and unsettling moment, they ought to respond in an affirmative way by calling 800-217-244. I'm sorry.
Skip the 800 part, John.
217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455. Or go to that Will Pledge. Is it willpledge.org?
That's right, John. And I should say, John, while you've been talking and while I was talking before, we have five more pledgers who I want to thank.
Good.
It's good. It's a good start. So let's get everyone call while I read these names, and then we'll get back to the politics. We want to thank Mr. and Mrs. Richard Wandline of Charleston, Illinois, home of Eastern Illinois University. We know we've got a lot of listeners down there. Thank you very much. We've got an anonymous caller from Avon, Ohio, which is terrific. Another internet listener, someone with a heck of a strong radio.
That's a good radio, yeah.
That's a very good radio. And then we get this, John. Urbana, Illinois has thrown down the gauntlet. It has really taken it right to Champaign and even Terre Haute. Three callers, three pledges from Urbana in the last 10 minutes. Nancy Stagg. Thank you,
man.
Nancy Stagg. Jennifer Putman. Thank you, Jennifer. And Mark Leff, my dear friend in the history department there. Thank you, Mark. All of you, we really appreciate your support. Let's get some more callers in here at 217-244-9455. We've got 12 down, 63 to go. We've got an hour and 15 minutes. We've got John Nichols on the line from an undisclosed location in Europe talking politics with us before he gives you his legendary speech, Denmark, tomorrow at some newspaper. Then back here to the free world to cover our elections, which are coming up in just about a week and a half, John Nichols.
It is a week and a half. I It's one of those situations where you balance your commitments to journalism and the future of journalism with the core work of doing journalism. And so my grand European lecture tour is a 36-hour jump on a plane, fly over, give a speech, jump on a plane, fly back moment. But the thing that I would emphasize about where we're at right now politically in the United States is that we are right now looking at the play out, as I was saying before, of a lot of missed opportunities by the Obama administration. And that's an important thing to understand. It's important in the broad sense politically. But for this exact political moment we're in, it's especially vital. By not focusing on the unemployment issues that we were talking about a few minutes ago, the Obama administration made itself vulnerable to an attack that said, you know, they're more interested in elites, they're more connected to New York and Washington than they are to the middle of America. That's been very, very effective. Secondly, though, they did something else that you and I have talked about a lot on this show, and frankly, that this show has highlighted. If there's a sub-theme of this show with people like Andrew Bacevich and Jeremy Scahill and so many other guests, it is that there needs to be accountability when our government does something wrong. And the Obama administration and Democrats in Congress during the last 18 months chose not to hold particularly our financial wrongdoers to account. As a result, we didn't have a moment like you had in the 1930s when J.P. Morgan Jr. was called before the Congress and forced to testify about his financial wrongdoing. And so the Obama administration allowed the sense of outrage that existed after the financial meltdown of 2008 to sort of dissipate, or if anything, to get turned on the Obama administration. Now, we can look at this in a lot of ways. It's the president's missteps, no doubt. It's Congress's missteps. But it's also the media's misstep. We have a media in this country that is so easily led by the nose today that it will literally go off and neglect major stories and do the spin. And I think that right now, as we talk about trying to take a show like this and make sure that it has the funding to go on for the not just the next year, but the next many years, it becomes all the more important because we're going to need programs. We do need programs that break through the spin and that tell people what's really going on. We can't count on Barack Obama to do it, even if it's in his own interest. We can't count on the Congress to do it, even if it's in their own interest. And we shouldn't count on them. We should count on journalism. We should count on great public affairs programming. And that's what you get with WILL. That's why people should call 217-244-9455. Again, 217-244-9455. Or go to that willpledge.org site and just make an easy pledge right now. We're going to talk a lot. We are talking a lot of politics, but we're also going to keep reminding people we need those pledges. They are so very vital at this moment.
And we have three more people I would like to thank at this moment. Kay and Tom Wilson of Normal, thank you so much for making your generous pledge. Charles Delman and Barbara Lawrence of Charleston. And again, Charleston now is
ahead. Charleston's coming on strong.
It's ahead of Champaign. If anyone listening to the show right now in Champaign, get this. Terre Haute, Indiana, and Charleston are ahead of you in pledges to WILL during this hour. And then finally, Carol Leff of Urbana. So Urbana's just so far in front now.
It's unbelievable.
It's sort of silly.
And I mean, really, whither the home of REO Speedwagon?
Well, John, I think that reference probably went past most of our listeners.
Oh, no. I mean, come on. Urbana and Champaign, great towns. And we don't want to spur any kind of twin city rivalry here, but that's pathetic, or Champagne.
Well, Champagne people are known for being practical, and they're known for basically wanting their money's worth. And maybe they don't quite appreciate the fact that a $60 pledge gives you a choice of one of three books that you will get in return. These books are really worth a lot of money, and they're great books. And one of them I don't want to brag about too much because I wrote it with you, John Nichols, Death and Life of American Journalism. And people probably heard about it if they listened to the show last week.
Well, I think it's generally agreed that it makes a fine holiday gift, and the holidays are coming up.
That's right. And then we've got two other books for recent guests in the show. Nick Carr's book, The Shallows, How the Internet Affects Our Brains. for my money, one of the best shows I've ever done on this station, and one of the best books I've ever read on this connected to the internet. And likewise, Andrew Bacevich's new book, The Washington Rules. He was a guest recently on the show. For $60, you have your choice of those three books. Give $180, get all three, and support this station. We desperately need your support. We need you to call 217-244-9455. We have a few more people to thank that have just come in. I got a note here from Melissa Trentz, our producer. And I should put in a word for Melissa. She gets the guests for us. She does all this work. She breaks her back making this the best possible show, as does the whole staff at WIL. I don't know if people fully appreciate the back end of what, besides what you hear over the air, goes into putting on a show. And the entire staff here is completely dedicated. I mean, these are people who are committed to public broadcasting. They're here because they believe in really doing public affairs media of the highest possible caliber that serves the public.
Well, hey, Bob.
Yeah, John.
Nice to interrupt. You know, I think this is one of the things that distinguishes public radio from an awfully lot of what's left of commercial radio. And you and I both do public and commercial stations when we do interviews and conversations like this. And increasingly, when you do an interview on a commercial radio station, it really is a case of somebody flipping on the microphone and just talking. There isn't a lot of preparation. There's not a lot of effort put into it.
If a commercial radio host had ever read our book before they interviewed us, John, I think I would have fallen over in the chair.
Well, remember, I mean, not to joke about it too much, but remember we went on with actually a very prominent host in, was it Portland, I think, where the guy, it didn't seem like he had even read the promotional material. I don't necessarily blame the hosts on commercial radio. What's happened is they have gutted commercial radio out. You don't have the support staff. You don't have the basic infrastructure that is necessary to do good journalism and good public affairs. WILL maintains that. It is very, very hard. It costs a lot of money. But it is the reason why this station stands out in the region and increasingly nationally as a model for what a public radio station can and must be.
John, I must interrupt you.
Have to call.
Let me interrupt you, John. You were going to give the number, weren't you? John Nichols is always great about that. 217-244-9455. Call, make the pledge, or go to willpledge.org. But I do want to thank John, because apparently the word got out to Champaign that they were sort of being challenged by Urbana and Charleston and Terre Haute and all sorts of other places. We got a couple of people from Champaign who've made
excellent.
Enid Bell of Champaign, thank you very much, Enid. Also Joyce from Champaign, thank both of them. But Urbana, staying strong. Maggie Duncan Flowers of Urbana, still in the lead. Thank you so much, Maggie. And we got an anonymous gift from Bloomingdale, Indiana. And we also got a
Bloomingdale, Indiana?
Yeah, it must be Bloomington. Is there a Bloomingdale? That's a department store.
Bloomingdale's in New York, but
I think it must be Bloomington. I think in the excitement of talking to someone from Indiana, they typed it wrong. And then we've got Robert Elsher of Slaterville Springs, New York. Slaterville Springs, New York.
What is going on with this internet thing?
Yeah, I mean, and they're making pledges, which is nice. It's pretty embarrassing when New York is beating Champaign. I guess they're not ahead, but they're challenging.
Not way ahead, but it's. And I'm going to stop picking on Champaign because the people came through.
Yeah, that's true. They're up to three now.
Yeah, and it's clear that there's going to be a lot more coming. Wink, wink.
Well, we've got 20 down, we've got 55 to go, and we've got a little over an hour to do it. So we do need folks to call in. I'm Bob McChesney, John Nichols the guest. This is Media Matters. It's WILL AM 580. This is the two-hour version of the show. We do it twice a year. We need your support. We need you to call in with the pledges. This is the time we need you to show. This is the sort of programming I like to have on the air. I want to listen to it, be it on my AM radio, in the car, at home, or on the internet. I'm going to call 217-244-9455. Make that pledge. $60 gets you one of the three books, either The Death and Life of American Journalism by Nichols and McChesney, Washington Rules by Andrew Bacevich, or The Shallows by Nick Carr. Give 120 and take two. 180, get three. I think you'll be glad to read any of those books. And we need your support more than ever. The federal government money is now, for the first time in 16 years, to be under direct attack. There's a movement to strip away all funding from public radio, including WILL. Their state funding that we depend on is now completely up in the air, given the fiscal state of the state. And the university has slashed funding to WILL by $68,000 in the new budget. We need your support more than ever. We've always needed listener support. Let's be clear. The listeners are the backbone of public radio, of WILL. So we've always needed your support. Now we need it more than ever. And I think, John Nichols, it's not unfair to say that now at this moment, the people of America need programs that are produced by stations like WILL more than ever. I mean, give us a sense, John. You travel the country. I know you, because we talk about politics incessantly, almost on a daily basis. You watch, you listen to commercial radio, you listen to watch TV shows. What is the political diet of the average American getting right now in this country?
Commercials. They're getting commercials. And this is, it's a devastating reality, and one that I think listeners to public radio may not be fully aware of, because they're living on a better or higher plane, if you will. But if you're relying on commercial radio, or especially commercial television, as your source of news, you will learn dramatically more. Well, I'm sorry, you will have dramatically more input with regards to your races for governor, U.S. Senate, Congress, and other positions from commercials than you will from the newscasts. Remarkably enough, and you and I have been talking about this a lot recently, we're tracking a pattern across this country where increasingly candidates for public office are refusing to participate in debates. They are not doing interviews. They aren't, you know, they aren't submitting themselves to journalism in any sense, because they don't feel they need to anymore. Journalism has been so dumbed down, so extracted from commercial media, that an awfully lot of political players feel that they can fully communicate with the people they want to communicate to, the voters, via commercials. And as I said before, there's talk, Fred Wertheimer and other great analysts of advertising, that this election cycle could see as much as $5 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars worth of advertising and political spending. That's just an unprecedented amount of money, and it really is dominating the discourse. We're at a point now where the minimal effort of commercial stations to do journalism, to do coverage of campaigns, is completely overwhelmed by the commercials. And the other devastating thing is that so many of the commercial stations are actually accepting this circumstance. They're so obsessed with the entertainment and commercial side rather than civic and democratic side that they are no longer airing debates that they sponsor.
It's an absolute scandal, absolute outrage that these companies are cleaning up. The average commercial television station in America in 1992, John Nichols, got 2% of its revenues from TV candidate political ads. By 2004, it was 12%. I'm willing to bet when the dust settles on this election, it will be pushing 20% of all revenues will come from TV candidate ads. And so these same companies that are using these ads to get rich and to support their businesses have cut back on airing candidate debates. They no longer cover the campaigns in journalism. Basically, they say, yeah, we're just going to basically serve you up ads and make money off it, and that's our political culture. That's the fourth estate of America.
Mm-hmm. And it is an unacceptable reality, politically, culturally, socially, in every way. And it's one that ultimately we're going to have to address as a society. There's simply no question. We're going to have to deal with these issues, the issues raised by the Supreme Court with the Citizens United ruling, the issues raised by a just genuine across-the-board failure of commercial television and radio stations to live up to their public interest, their public service responsibility.
John, what could someone do listening right now to this show who's
concerned?
Well,
it's funny you would say that.
Yeah.
Bob,
what would you recommend?
Well, this is the funny thing. Because all those things have to happen, but all those things are going to require legislative action, political action, maybe even constitutional amendments. There's one thing that you can do right now, today, and that is call 217-244-9455. Again, 217-244-9455. Or go to that willpledge.org website and make a pledge to support this station, which really does kind of leap over all the problems and give you something that that every station should. So make the pledge. And again, one of the things that Bob and I emphasize when we do these shows is you can make whatever size pledge you want. If you're in a circumstance where a dollar is what you can pledge, we love you. We want that, and we recognize that may mean as much to you as $100 from somebody else. And so we value every pledge we get. We never put a dollar amount on the shows that we do. We want a large number of pledges. So make that dollar pledge. But if you are the person who can part with $100, if you are the person who can part with $200 or even $500, this is the time to do it. Become a part of the whole that we're going to create today, a whole of dozens of people from across central Illinois into Indiana, people coming from as far away as New York and Ohio and saying, look, we are sick and tired of being treated like children by a media system that doesn't respect us. We want to support one station, WILL, that says, you are not children, you are citizens, and you have a right. In fact, you have a responsibility to gather the information you need, and we're going to help you do it. We're going to help you govern your own affairs.
Johnny Nichols, thank you for those great words. John Nichols, our guest today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. Just if you've tuned in, this is the two-hour version. That's why we're still with you. We'll be heading into our second hour shortly. John Nichols, of course, writes for The Nation magazine, writes books with me as a commentator on The Ed Show and a number of